We have come to chapter 10 of our series on marriage and the Christian family. We are still in session 1 because this is the session concerning the male-female relationship in a Christian family. And let me tell you, in trying to understand these lessons, I have learned a lot. These are very good lessons. Let me recommend you, don't please stop coming in any of these lessons, because especially this one. I mean, last night I was sitting late and I was studying this, and I said, man, somebody should have told me about this before. It's so profound for us to understand. We talk about so many things, but we do not understand the reality of what God expects from us. And this lesson is a very in-depth study on what we mean by love. Love is a word that has been used so much and misused so much. And we do not understand what actually is a love that God means through His word. We look at love from a human perspective. And there are many different kinds of love. And there are many different meaning and many different examples of love. And at the same time, we need to understand that God means something when He talks about love. Snehan varinadoru, it's a very profound kind of a word that we need to understand. And in fact, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is a chapter that is wholly devoted to explain what is the love that God is talking about. And in one of the words it says that love never fails. No matter everything will fail, but love will never fail. What kind of love is that will never fail? We need to understand that. There are many couples who struggle in their life and they say, okay, we love each other, but we are not kind of compatible. And it takes more than love to have a successful marriage. And the reason why these people say this is because they do not really understand in a family between a man and a woman what is the kind of love that will never fail. If you have this kind of love that God is speaking about in 1 Corinthians 13, I will give you in writing that your marriage will never fail. It will never, never fail, because this love is one that will exist forever, for eternity. As we are going to study about this word, let me first of all explain to you on a very general note that there are three kinds of love. There are three types of love as we see. Some people say, you know, I love my wife, I love my husband, I love my kids. And the same time they say, I love my car, I love my TV, I love my music, I love my job, I love my bike. That only Brother Sam Paul can say right now, sitting. I love my bike. What is a love to an inanimate object and a love to a living being? What is the difference? Is it all love? Do we really love inanimate objects? Do we really love? I sometimes tell Tunisia, I love my office. I really love it. Because it gives me so much of peace and quiet when I sit there in prayer or in study or in doing my work. I am so peaceful. I say I love my place. We all express that we love something, but actually love means something very different that we need to understand. And it describes a variety of emotional feelings. Sometimes the feeling that we have towards an inanimate object is not the feeling that we have towards a husband or towards our wife. So let me tell you that there are three kinds of love. And this is very good lesson. Let me tell you, this is the key in our entire series. So please pay attention. There are three kinds of love in this world. Number one is called a receiving love, or it is called as eros. The second is a sharing love, which is called in Greek philia. And the third is a giving love, which is called as agape. The first one, which is called a receiving love, is from the Greek word called eros, from where we have derived the word called erotic. It is never used. This word with the meaning of eros is never used in the New Testament at all. This is never used even once when we talk about love. So, eros is a type of sensuality. And it's more like a type of selfishness. This is a love that can only receive. It doesn't know how to give out. Only you can receive. It cannot share. It cannot give. It is like the love of a child when the child grows up. The child knows only how to receive. Receives good things. As a child grows up, children start with this kind of a love, which is called an eros. It only receives. And it is selfish. You know that children are very selfish. No matter how much godly you train them, but when they grow up, the first kind of love that they feel is selfishness. Mine is mine. Yours is mine. Everything is mine. Everybody has to put their attention on me. That is why when we have a second child, the first child feels that sense of not being the center of the parents' universe. And they kind of rebel against that. So, that is a love that little children have. It's a childish love. It's not a mature love. It's a childish love because it can only receive. In a way, it can say that eros is actually not love. Because when you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says love never fails. And Paul never meant the erotic love that we see in this particular context. The second kind of love is called philia. Comes from the Greek word filial. And it is kind of a mutual love that family members share with each other. So as a baby matures to be growing up, very soon the erotic love that a baby feels always sharing starts getting replaced by the filial love that you give and I will share. You know, they start sharing things. You can see a child who is like 5 years, 6 years. They start sharing things. They are not all the time, it's mine. I need to have that. That's not the way. The child grows out of that receiving love to a kind of a mutual sharing love. And when you know that it is emotionally pleasing to the family members, there is a lot of emotional love that is also shared. So, in a normal setting, in most families, if there is only a filial love that is existing, it is a type of a marriage relationship that is called a 50-50 proposition. It is like, you do your part, I will do my part, and we will mutually agree. Let me give you an example. I have seen about family, I don't want to name names. Even after marriage, the husband will bear a bank account, the wife will bear another bank account. The husband will pay for the grocery, the wife will pay for the electric bills. The husband will pay for the car, the wife will pay for the food. This is a 50-50 kind of partnership. But that's not exactly what God means when a husband and a man and a woman joins. It says they will be one flesh. There is no 50-50% partnership in any marriage. If it's like you scratch my back, I will scratch yours. If that is a deal, the problem happens when one of the partner falls sick or is without a job or falls into problem. Then the other partner cannot, you know, really help the other person because their partnership is on a 50-50. You do your part of the deal and I'll do my part of the deal. So this love is actually immature. And it is not always successful in maintaining a marital relationship. So, when one of the partners have a ill health, for example, let's say somebody has a car accident and become crippled. If you have a filial love, it's a mutual love, it's a sharing love. That is the time you see the wife or the husband looking for the first instance to get a divorce and run after somebody else. Because they are not getting the part of the bargain. And let me tell you, a lot of these movie stars getting married, you know, it's all mutually depending upon a filial love that I need from you. Both of them have got something. And that is why they draw up a pre-nuptial agreement that, okay, if you are getting divorced, I should get half of your property. Or I should get 50,000. Or I should get the car. Or I should get the children custody. You know, that is the kind of relationship that a lot of worldly people enter into. The filial love, which is mutually, both the partners have to give and come to a 50-50% agreement. But when a crisis happens, that agreement falls apart, and it is not the love that Paul is again speaking. So let's come to the third love, which is called a giving love, which is called the agape love. Let me tell you, agape, the word agape is the actual word described in King James Version, and it is mentioned as charity. In some other versions it is mentioned as love. They all are the agape love that God is looking for in every husband and wife. It is actually the love of God. You know that God is love. Okay? Turn to 1 John chapter 4 verse 16. This is the love of God, the agape love. And 1 John chapter 4 verse 16 says, God is agape love. That is the root word, the Greek word that is derived for that word love in that. In John chapter 3:16, we know the famous words, God so loved the world. That loved is the verb of the agape love. He loved the world that what he did? What did God do? What did he do? He gave up his only begotten son. Agape love is the giving love. It is not the receiving love. It's not the sharing love. It's the giving love. That is the love that God is talking about. God so loved the world. God is love. God says, I am love. It is that giving love. It's that agape love. It is a pure love of a mother or father that makes sacrifices for their children. Always giving. Always trying to make, you know, things better for the other person. And in a marriage relationship, agape love is a 100% proposition. Which means, I will give my love to you regardless of whatever happens in my life. That is the agape love. I will give my life. My love is for you. For you and only you. Regardless of whatever situations that happens. That is why when you get married and you hold your partner's hand and the pastors tell you, repeat after me. What do you repeat? For better, for worse. Sugathilum. Dukkathilum. In everything, in health and in sickness, what he says, Santosh, are you listening? It's very important. Okay, don't go off to sleep. This is the love. It says, through it everything, in sickness, in poverty, even if you're disabled, whatever happens, I will be faithful to you and I will love you till the end of the life. So young men, when you go into, entering into, there are three of you, and I believe very soon you are going to enter into matrimony. Remember, when you make a commitment before God and with other people, before other people, when you tell to a girl that I am going to give, be with you, remember and you mean it. Don't go by the Western society. The people, the worldly people, they are either only receiving or maximum they are sharing, but they are never giving out. And that is the reason that most of the marriages are failing in the US. And that is a trend that is creeping up even among Christians, where we are selfish. Only what I need, you need to satisfy me. Otherwise you are not in my agenda. You are out of it. I will look for the next lady who will be able to fulfill my desires. If you go into a relationship with that kind of a mentality, one, you will be ever, you will not be happy in your marriage. But you need to have the love of God in your heart, which is a giving love. So, this is a word. It's actually, agape, let me tell you one more thing. Agape is not natural love. It is supernatural love. On a natural way, you can never have this love within yourself. Because man, by nature, is selfish. But the Bible says it is better to give than to receive. That is God's law. God's law is to give more than look to receive things from others. So this is a spiritual love. And it is found all over the New Testament where Jesus speaks about love in the epistles when love is mentioned in John, Epistle of John, which is the gospel, which is Epistle of Love. Everywhere the word love means agape. This is the love of God that should come in our hearts. When we become the children of God, God puts that love in our heart that we start giving out that love. And this agape love flows out from God Himself. So, in order for us to love with an agape love, let me tell you what you need. What do you need, Santosh? What do you need? What do you need in order to love? I'm trying to keep him awake. You know, that's why I'm asking him questions in between. In order to love like God is loving us, what do you need to do? Number one, you should know God personally. And number two, you should believe in the love of Calvary. And number three, that love, when you receive God and you have an intimate relationship with God, you start, that love starts flowing out of your life. And you truly become the child of God where you start giving out that love. It is general to all contexts, but we are specifying on the marriage. So I'm telling you, both the marriage partners, when the love of God is in your heart, you start giving out. You start thinking about the good of the other person. Like in the morning, how can I make my wife more comfortable? Or how can I make my husband more comfortable? How can I share and give my love out? End of the day, let me tell you, coming to church, doing everything is nothing without love. If you don't have love, you have nothing. The absolute crux of our life is that the love of God should dwell in our heart. Okay? Now, let me explain to you that agape love is more than words, it's more than religion, and it's more than works. Whatever we do, it is more than all of that. Number one, it's more than words. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. I want you to help me out as we are reading through. They turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we are, let me tell you, this is a beautiful lesson. If you hear and understand, I'm telling you, your life is not going to be the same again. Because you understand the love of God that comes in our heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Somebody read verse number 1, please.
Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, yes, but I have no life, because
it speaks about that the agape love is more than mere words. It means that even if I speak with the tongues of men and with the tongues of angels, which means, let's say, you are one of the greatest orators in the world. You can speak a lot of things. You can preach, you know, somebody like Andrew's pastor can preach mighty things, big things. But if you don't have love, the word of God says what? You are like what? You are like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You know what it means? The example is here given is like, let's say you have some pennies in your pocket. Okay? You put your hand in your pocket and you clang those pennies. Okay? They are no good. It will be always there in your pocket and you are keeping on clanging against each other. Unless you take that penny and you make use of it somehow.
Sounds irritating.
Yes, it sounds irritating. It sounds irritating, that's one thing. Maybe not irritating to many people. But still, these pennies are useless. Because they are in your pocket and you are just making that clanging symbol to that pennies. Unless those pennies are taken out of your pocket and given to somebody, or some transaction is going to take place, or given to a hand of a needy person, it is useless coins. Many times our love is just like that. We are making a lot of sound here, like clanging, you know. Lot of sound is coming out. We are like the orators, we speak. It's so many words, but if there is no love, it is absolutely meaning nothing. So that is, let me come back to that again. You say, God, that you love Him, right? God says, you say you love me, you don't obey my commandments. How do you say that you love me? You have to bring your love into action. God says, you say you love me, you don't love your brother, you don't love your sister. How can you say that you love a God that you cannot see, if you cannot love a brother you can see? Or you can love a sister you can see? Or you love your pastor that you can see? Or you love your enemies? How can you say to God that I love you? God doesn't accept our words. He looks at our heart. and he looks at our action. Yeah. 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 Yes.
He's the person who's a
hypocrite. He is. He's one of the greatest hypocrites. Because he's acting and he's showing big things, but actually there is nothing in his life.
He's expressing love in kind of like, you know.
He speaks love, but there is nothing to show in his life. It's like a tree. Yesterday we heard about that fig tree. It is showing the leaf, but there is no fruit. It is giving a form of piety before God, but there is nothing to show. When you come near and somebody wants to pluck something out, there is nothing. All you have is the leaves. You understand what I'm saying? So, the love is more than words. Number two, let me tell you, love is more than religion. Many times, we think that if we are doing some religious acts, God is very pleased with us. Let me tell you, in the first century, the Pharisees were the people, the most religious people. Most religious. Because the Old Testament, even the dot or the small thing, they used to obey. You talk about paying tithe. They were the greatest tithe keeper, you know. Giver, tithe giver. You know how they used to grow the herbs in the kitchen garden. They used to pay the tithe for even the herb. They used to do absolutely everything that God required from the law. But there was no love in their hearts. They could not have compassion. They did not have compassion. That is why when Jesus healed that withered man on the Sabbath day, they could not see that God had done such a great thing for that man who was crippled. But they were looking at Jesus breaking the commandment concerning the Sabbath. You understand that? They were religious, but far away from God. And God doesn't want religious people. God wants people who have a good relationship with Him. So, agape love is more than religion. Let's turn to verse number 2. Can somebody read? I want all of us to share and read, not one person. Come on. Verse number 2. 1 Corinthians 13. No problem. Read it out. Yes. It says about religion. You know the greatest religion, as we see the greatest religious people, it says the gift of prophecy. If somebody has a gift of prophecy or understanding of all mysteries and knowledge, the gift of discernment, they are the greatest Bible teachers. They understand all mysteries. They can speak to you very well from Revelation and make explain to you the mysteries of Revelation, or take the prophecy of Daniel and expound the theories and speak about the end time. They can understand all mysteries. The greatest teachers, the greatest prophets, and then the third one is that have the faith to move mountains. The greatest faith people, people of men of faith, who can even move mountains. Have you seen somebody move mountains? Recently, or even before, I have not seen anybody move. But let's say somebody has a faith to move mountains. The word of God says, if you don't have love, you are nothing. So, the spiritual manifestations are not sufficient to make a successful marriage. For example, I speak a very powerful sermon in the church. And I go home and I ill-treat my wife. What does God look at that? Does it mean anything? Does my religion mean anything? I fast and pray. I give my tithes. I wear white shirt on Sunday morning. I'm sure I'm looking good, smelling clean. But I do everything religiously, but I don't have love in my heart. I cannot stand my brother or my sister. How does God look at our relationship and our attitude? He says it's nothing. It's nothing. We need to look at things from a God's perspective. And Jesus is one of the most surprising persons. Because, you know, if we were in those times, we would say that Jesus would have patted the back of all those Pharisees. Because what, you know, they were following the letter of the law completely. They used to memorize the entire Old Testament. They used to tease the children. They used to fast. You know that Pharisee and the publican who stood, he didn't say anything wrong. He was saying the truth. God, I fast. 2 times a week. I give everything. I do this, I do that. But there was no love in him. There was no humility. And even if we have all kind of religious, that is why let me tell you, give you a friendly warning. Religion is good. But more than religion, what God looks for us is the love of God. Because God is love. More than anything else. God expects that love from us. The third thing, let us turn to verse number 3. Somebody else read verse number 3, please. Verse number 3. Yeah. Nobody has opened the Bible? Yeah.
Though I destroy all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing.
Oh, see, love is more than works also. The works that you do. It says about things that we will never do. For example, what, you know? I bestow all my goods. Just imagine all the property that is in Colin's name. Tomorrow he decides to sell it off and give to the poor. It's very difficult. The second thing, not only property. Property is something that doesn't touch you. Let's say the next thing, what is that? If I give my own body to be burnt, what more can I do? My own body, I give it in the flames to be burnt. That is the greatest work that you can do. Even if I do all of that and I do not have love, what it says? I am nothing. You understand what I am saying? Love is more than words. It's more than religion. And it is more than works. While whatever we do, if the essence of it is that the giving agape love should be there. Now, agape means giving love. But let me tell you, it's not only the giving of things. It's the unconditional giving of love itself. Agape is the unconditional giving of love itself. It's not just giving things. It's not just giving your goods to the poor. It is giving the love out to other people. So rather than giving cars or clothes or houses, it is the free giving of the love regardless of the circumstances. Okay, so I told you about this. Agape love is more than words, it's more than religion, and it's more than works. Let us look at the positive and the negative characteristics of agape love. Somebody else read verse number 4, please. 13:4.
Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity and
why
not charity
wanteth
not itself,
is
not puffed up.
Here, verse number 4 starts with two positive characteristics of love. It says charity, that is the old, as I said, the old King James Version is mentioned as charity. New places it says love, but it is all agape love. That is the word, the literal meaning. It says that, number 1, there are two positive characteristics. Number 1, love suffers long. Love suffers long. It is like the definition that Paul has given for love is so simple that many times, because it is so simple, we tend to skip over that. We think that love should be exotic. You know, love should be something great, asking us to do something, you know, like pulling stars in the sky. But God's definition of love, or Paul's definition here, is very simple. Two things. Only two things in love. Santosh, are you listening? I know he's meditating a lot, but you need to listen and also understand and read. Now, one he says, what does it say here? It suffers long. Love suffers long. Number 2, love is kind. You know, two things. What does mean suffer long? What does it mean? Love suffers long. It means putting on one's passion of anger off for the future. If you feel an anger coming in your heart, just grind your teeth. Or say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Normally it's a good... When you have anger, when you want to tell something back, one good thing is you start counting numbers up to 10. They say that it works every time. Start counting numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. By the time you count 10, your anger is not there like you used to feel, you know, before you started counting. But one is, it suffers long. The positive characteristics of love is that it suffers long, that you put off your anger to the future. Now there's a scholar called Fritz Reinecker. He has made this like, this is an example he has said, and I want to read it out. It is a long holding out of the mind before it gives room to action or passion. Generally to passion. It is a steadfast spirit which will never give in. The idea of the word is that it takes a long time before fuming and breaking into flames. The present tense emphasizes the continual and habitual state of action. Now, understand this. When you have the agape love through the Holy Spirit in your life, God will give you a patience that you are not quick to react. You see, our problem is that we react very soon. Sooner than we should. But when you have the love in your life, you don't react that quickly. And God will give us such a patience that we will not react and make a problem when situations come. Usually there are situations in family life. Don't tell me that your marriage is so ideal that there is not a word that you speak, or everything is, sometimes it has happened, some situation. If you have the agape love, you don't react immediately to your spouse at that moment, but you pull back. Allow God to really show you the reality of that problem and deal and tackle that problem in a much more spiritual manner. That is what he says, love suffers long. And it is a habit that you should develop. It is not religion. It is not works. The heart of agape love is a passion that you are lovingly patient during the crisis times. When there is a crisis in your family, you are lovingly patient for things to settle down so you actually see the clearer picture. In spite of the circumstance, in spite of whatever you see, you don't react then and there. Kind of a joke I am just remembering. You know the Muslims, for them divorce is very easy. If a man says talak, talak, talak 3 times, it's gone. The marriage is annulled and the girl is gone. So in India, I recently read a newspaper clipping about a man who was dreaming something. And he said talak, talak, talak 3 times in his dream. And he was made to separate from his wife.
What happened? The wife, you know, she thought it was funny. She told her co-worker.
Hey, yeah.
They told the priest to make a big deal.
They told the mullah, and the mullah shut off the marriage. Because he said talak, talak 3 times in his dream. What a funny story. It happened in India. And the husband and wife both wants to come back, but then
they have to get married and divorce them.
The girl, not the man. I mean, she has to get married to somebody else, and he has to give her a divorce, and then only he can marry her back. What a weird culture, and what a weird religion. I laughed a lot, but then I felt so sorry. That man and the woman, they have nothing wrong in their marriage life. But poor thing, he saw some kind of a dream. I mean, and he said talak 3 times and that's it. Marriage broke up. Our life, marriages can break up very easily. And I'm telling you, let's not put this under the carpet. Things are good in our life because we have a good foundation. But in Christianity, there are so many divorces taking place. So many marriages ending up in problem. You know why? Because spouses react immediately and they feel wounded and they strike back like a serpent striking back. They strike back at the other person. But if you have the agape love in your heart, it says love suffers long. You don't react back that quickly. Number 2, the agape love is kind. Not only that it suffers long, it is kind. It is the same word that is used in Galatians, meaning translated goodness. I'm going to close this here and we will go into the later part next week. It's so quickly time goes, and you know, it's so wonderful. We are all kind of listening to it so eagerly. Time goes out very fast. It's already close to 10. But let me tell you here. It's kind. The root word comes from the word called goodness. in Galatians, which is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, love, agape love is kind, means to be useful, to be gracious, well-disposed service to others. So, the emphasis that love is kind is more in relation to service rather than attitude. Now, there are two positive characteristics I told you. Number one, it suffers long. It refers to your attitude, that you hold on patiently in the time of crisis. Number two, it is kind. It is more in relation to your service. How do you develop a kind attitude? Let us say your wife is, I'm talking to the husbands here, your wife is busy because she's taking care of a sick child. A child is very sick. Okay? And your wife is taking care of the sick child. The dishes are still there which are not cleaned. The food is not cooked. What do you do? If you are kind, instead of saying, "My wife, I love you, when are you going to make me the food?" What do you do? What do you do that? You go and start cleaning up the dishes and start making some food. That is meant by being kind, or the goodness of your love should show in action. Not just words, not just writing poetry in the air, but start acting it out. Because you know that your wife is indisposed. It's not that she's purposely. I know some women purposely not doing things at home, making their husbands do. That's not what I'm talking about. Let's say your wife is really tied up and she cannot come. Well, if you have your love for her, you should go and do it. And that is a love that you can show to each other. And the kind, that is the kindness that we have. So I want to close this lesson here. I hope that you got something out of it. Very blessed. I was very blessed in reading this. I'm very blessed today. The agape love. This is a love that we don't talk about, but this is a love that God wants from our lives. It is more than words. It is more than works. It is more than religion. It is suffering long and it is kind. It is both an attitude and it's both a service. Okay? I want us to close our eyes and dedicate ourselves one more time. I want us to really, my whole objective of this whole series is that our marriages should be stronger. Our love and our relationship should be so strong that God is well pleased with us. Let's close our eyes. I want us, one of us, to lead out in prayer, please. Praise the Lord.
Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this blessed time. Thank you for speaking to each one of us through thy word. Through dear sweet pastor, thank you, Lord. Abba, Father, bless us with the spirit of love, with unconditional love, with agape love. Abba, Father, help us to understand thy word. Oh Lord, the hidden meaning, the hidden secrets. Oh Lord, reveal to us, speak to us through thy word. The coming days, help us to lead a life more pleasing unto thee, more useful unto thee. Abba, Father, each one of us commit ourselves into thy loving hand. Till we meet again, protect us. Those who are unable to come today, we especially pray for them. Bless us, dear Lord. Prepare us for thy second coming. We ask in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen.